You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hello and welcome to this episode. Today I am with a very talented singer, songwriter, performer, and he's very tall, and he's in a band, and he can also do things by himself. Johnny Walker, welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you. It's we haven't seen each other in a while, but when this came up that I was going to be hosting, you were immediately like, hey, I'm interested in doing that. And I was like, hey, you're on my list. So here you are. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Caught you before band practice. Going to hit up and write some new songs with Despite the Fallen. Get ready for some new stuff.
So. Yes. So you are the lead singer of Despite the Fallen.
I am.
You are also a very active solo artist, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
is the way to put it.
Probably more active than that. Well, Despite the Fallen's doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff right now, so we're working really hard. But in the public eye, I've been really hitting the solo stuff, so it seems like I'm doing a lot more there. Like, I've had a lot of people message me like, are you guys still together? Are you doing stuff? I'm like, oh, you just wait, I promise.
I was one of those that was starting to wonder. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, you guys made a post, and I was like, oh, okay, they're still together. Well, let's get started with you as a person. Are you from Bowling Green or the Bowling Green area?
I'm actually about an hour and a half away in a small little town called Russell Springs.
Russell Springs. And you've been active in the not only the Bowling Green music scene, but I would say the South Central Kentucky music scene for a while.
Most definitely. That's the only place that'll have me.
Yeah. And so you born and raised in Russell Springs?
I was. It's one of those towns where there's nothing to do, so everybody just gets together and jams in their basement, which is actually the coolest part about it, is there's always some little party happening where somebody's playing.
I have noticed there's a lot, kind of like Glasgow. When I grew up in Bowling Green, Glasgow seemed to be like, I kept hearing about musicians and a lot of activity coming out of this little tiny town, back then it was. And I was just like, wow, what is in the water up in there? Because it's like Glasgow and Russell Springs and Somerset, I would hear about all these really good bands and musicians coming from that area. So you are one of many to come from that area. But going back to what you just said, how did you get into music?
My father was an audiophile from way back. He had one of those huge stereos that would always just like knock pictures off the wall. And I mean, it didn't matter if it was a school night or not. So it was just one of those things I grew up around. And he'd always play like Candlebox and 80s stuff and like Scorpions, which was one of my favorite 80s groups, just all that. And then mom would flip the script and play like Oasis and Matchbox 20. So I get like the 90s alternative. And then I discovered grunge on my own because it was neither one of their favorite things. And I kind of forced that upon them. So we all brought something to the table. But I just remember being about, well, I started taking guitar lessons when I was about 7 years old because they thought it'd be something that I was good at, but I was way too hyperactive, and I actually kind of got kicked out of the lessons because I wouldn't sit still and had no interest whatsoever. And then
some people are meant to learn music on their own terms. I too also didn't handle lessons very good.
Yeah, like I don't like authority.
You learn what you need, and then like I got what I need. I'm gonna go on and like find my own thing.
I just remember like sitting at the house and mom sitting there, and she had actually learned more than I had just watching. So she was like trying to show me how to play Old MacDonald, and like I'm like, how do you know that? But about 6 years later, I was digging through my closet, probably looking for like an old gaming console or something, and I found the little half-size Fender she bought me.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of got me back into it, so I wanted to take lessons again, and I met up with Ethan Foster, which was in a variety of bands from Russell Springs, and he gave me lessons for about 3 months, and after that, he was like, I taught you all that I can teach you, and you're on your own, and I just kind of picked up, you know, anything I could. I had the basic understanding. Still don't mess with scales that much, but who does? Who does? Besides Mason Kessler.
I don't know. I've never been. I've learned them recently just because I've kind of transitioned from drumming to bass playing. So I've been playing bass and guitar most of my life, but learning, I'm trying to learn how to be a better bass player. Exactly. And I feel like if you're going to play certain styles of music, you got to know certain things. So I can relate to that.
There was an old samurai, Miyamoto Musashi, who said, learn everything and then forget it all. Yeah. So it's just like, get the feel of it.
Yourself.
Exactly. So that's my motto on things. It's not me being lazy at all.
Not a bad motto to have. So when did you get active into playing in bands or jamming with people? Like, when did all of that kind of kick in for you and you realized you had the talent, you had the passion for music? What did it for you, and when did that happen?
Well, I started playing long before I realized I had the talent. But I think I was 13.
Okay.
And we have this festival thing called Lake Fest every year. And, like, Confederate Railroad and all those guys would come and play it. But they have a talent show, and I was... there was a kid who was quite, I think, 5 years older than me. And he was a vocalist in a few bands around. At the time, I only played guitar. And I hit him up, and I'm like, hey, come sing this song. We're going to enter this talent show. We're going to make things happen. It was the biggest moment of our lives. So we learned Simple Man, and we went and played it, and actually won and got the chance to open up for Confederate Railroad and only knew the one song. So that was a fun time.
And this next song is called Simple Man.
Yeah, and I guess we'll do it again, just add a couple of verses. But we made significant progress, and we played together for a long, long time, and we made, like, it developed from just me and an acoustic guitar and him to a full band thing, and then, like, it kind of dissolved, and he was actually teaching me how to sing at the time, so I just kind of stepped up and started doing my own thing, and it just rolled from one band to another after that. This is how it all goes.
Yeah, that's true. I met you... I want to say in 2013, maybe 14, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not good with dates, but that sounds right.
It's been a minute. Now, I'd say it's at least 3 or 4 years ago, if that. You were in a band called Of Sound Mind.
Yes.
And somehow, some way, I think we met through mutual friends in the music scene, and you came to me to get some t-shirts printed at the place I was working at.
Yeah, you hooked
us
up with our first t-shirt.
That was the first time I, like, met you. And then I not only met you, I became aware of your band, your music.
Yeah.
I came to see you guys perform. So that was my personal introduction to you. Leading up to that band, were you in bands with names that were very involved?
I was. There's the band right before that's probably the first official act you would call. It was Black Waters.
Yeah.
And we actually went and recorded a demo in high school, and I remember it was like junior year, and I was just insanely excited about it. We spent probably $200, which at the time was the most money I'd ever had in my life.
Yeah.
We went and spent it, knocked it out in 2 days, and I actually tracked the vocals with a terrible, terrible sickness. And I just remember hearing them and being like, no. And, like, even not, like, healthy, I was terrible at the time. But it was an all-new terrible. So we bought another day. I went back, fixed them all. And something happened in the process. And the sick vocals still got put on the CD. So, like, we got it back. And I told him, he's like, I don't have any other vocal takes. So I'm like, well, I'm not.
Maybe it was a dream.
Yeah, maybe it was.
And that's how Of Sound Mind came.
Yeah. And there's actually that CD still floating around. I think the last time I saw it, it was in my grandma's car. She's still a huge believer in that first CD. It's terrible. But that was actually the first little, I can actually make something, you know, like physical with this. And it kind of put the motivation in me. And I had a lot of support from my friends at high school, way more than I should have. But I appreciate the belief. And after that, I lost touch with a few of those guys, brought in some more, but, like, it was one of those revolving things where, like, somebody would leave and then 2 years later they'd come back, but they were playing a different instrument for some reason.
Yeah.
And Of Sound Mind was born, and Todd Hogan, oddly enough, booked their first show. It was Dublin's when they were doing shows on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And all that. So we came up and played with Out of the Ashes, I want to say.
Oh yeah.
And a band from Nashville that was actually really, really good. And I've completely blanked on what their name was. But it'll come to me as soon as I leave. But that kind of got me introduced to Todd. And he saw a little potential in us, and then we got, that was actually our introduction to the Bowling Green scene.
Okay.
Altogether. So that's how, like, started networking up here. We started playing Spillway, which is where we kind of ran into each other, and then...
Yeah, I saw Of Sound Mind play at Spillway, and I know I saw you solo at Dublin's one time, and that's when I instantly realized, no, this guy's not only in bands and a lead singer, but he can also play guitar and sing and perform covers and originals. Aside from playing guitar, what other instruments do you play?
I am a jack of all trades, master of none. I'll play a little piano. Drums are probably my worst attribute, honestly.
But you are, like, in a way, like a producer.
Yeah, so
like,
I try
you really
to familiarize
dabble in sound
with everything.
And stuff like that.
I can do just enough violin that it won't make your ears bleed, because that's the hardest instrument.
That's
to
very,
me. Like,
yeah.
They're so beautiful, and then you try playing it, and you're like, no, this is not the
I've
same.
I've avoided things with bows my
yeah,
whole life.
Yeah, this is not the same thing that I'm hearing elsewhere. But I can do a little bit of everything. I played piano. I was actually a lot better at piano in high school. I won a couple awards, and then I just never touched it again, so now I'm like relearning things, so that's fun. But I mean, I've just always, like, if I can get my hands on it, I will try my best to learn how to play it for sure.
No,
just
that's what any good artist really is. You know, at least try anything,
and I'll put it on a song, most definitely. It doesn't matter. It can be a cabasa, I'll do it.
Well, that's always fun to experiment. Musically speaking, would you say are your influences, not necessarily bands or artists in general, but I would say the whole spectrum of music, what would you say a lot of your influence comes from?
That's the hardest thing for me to pin down, because I am all over the place. Like, you can hop in my car and it'll go straight, and I know everyone says this, but it'll go from, like, The Architects, which are, like, really metal and all that, to, like, Joe Purdy's indie, just folk stuff. I mean, I got some techno on there with some, like, weird British female singers just doing some stuff. Like, and most of it, like, I listen to the production of a lot of things, which I'm sure you do too.
Right.
And, like, you're just like, what's he doing with these vocals here? Like, I want to do what that was. So, like, I try to listen to everything, and there's honestly nothing that I haven't liked, as long as it was honest, good, authentic music.
It's almost like you can get inspired from anything, even if you don't like it.
Exactly.
You can still, I think a lot of musicians may listen to something and go, well, that's not my thing, but I appreciate it, and I see some talent here, and it's very inspiring to pull
exactly.
from that.
Yeah.
And therefore, you don't necessarily dive into that genre, but you can at least gain something out of it.
I definitely like finding people who are doing things completely different than I do, just because it's a new perspective on how you can do things.
Right.
And sometimes you're like, I really want to try something along those lines. And then sometimes you're like, I could never pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Still try, but only in my bedroom and stuff like that. But, like, there's a writer I read a lot, Chuck Palahniuk, which The Fight Club, he wrote that and stuff. But he says, you don't have to make something they enjoy, just something they can't forget.
Mm.
And I keep that in mind a lot.
That's
so.
A good thing to go by. I noticed when I've seen you live, and obviously a lot of the photos you use for, like, promo and everything, as far as a solo artist, you're usually playing, like, a bigger size. Like, is that a Gretsch?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so
that's
you,
my baby.
Are you, is that your thing as far as sound, and is that define you as a solo artist and what you do as a writer?
It really does. I have a Martin that I love too, and I used to, that'd be all I did when I was out solo, but I listened to Julian Baker and Phoebe Bridgers, which are these insanely talented females, and all they do is use, like, it'll be a Telecaster through a Fender Twin Reverb, and it's just so ambient. And there was one day, I think I was honestly just too broke to buy strings for my Martin until I got paid for the show, so I just grabbed the hollow body and took it out and played and kind of fell in love, which it makes me play in a different way, because anytime I'm on the Martin, I will just strum the absolute bejesus out of it and just hit it as hard as I can.
Well, it's a Martin.
Yeah, exactly.
It's built for that.
And the hollow body just doesn't respond to that much abuse, because it's got the floating bridge and, like, the Bigsby, so I have to play it a lot softer, and it's honestly channeled me into a softer sound than before. So, and that's another thing, is just changing up what makes you comfortable, trying something new, seeing how that changes your sound. But ever since then, it's just kind of been my thing, which I also really love the hollow body because I am a very big guy.
You're very tall.
Even though I may not sound like it just by my voice if you're listening to this, but I am pretty big. So, like, anytime I play a normal size guitar, I just, like, make it look like a ukulele. So, like, I have to have something big. Like, even the hollow body looks, like, average size on me, but it's a huge guitar. I think that's why
I
play bass,
because if I hold a guitar, it looks, like, yeah, really like tiny. I just, like, but yeah, I'm, like, I guess I'm normal size or whatever, but, yeah, there's a picture of us together, and somebody was like, man, I thought you were tall.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I am, but he's taller.
I never know how tall I am until I see pictures of, because like you can see people, and like if you're looking at the top of their head, you're like, oh, we're the same height, but you're not like actually eye level. Yeah.
You're just used to it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, going from that, as the solo stuff has been going on, at some point, you did join the band Despite the Fallen,
which I
was very much a fan of before you joined the band. I know that Todd, as of today, would be the only original member left.
Indeed, he is.
When I first heard them, I believe they played at the Spillway, and I immediately was like, wow, this guy's a really good drummer. And these guys are really good. And then I ended up talking to the other members and everything. But it was just in coming and going, you know.
Yeah.
How many singers have they had? And on top of that, I know this band has been rocked with some tragedy.
Yes.
There's had a lot of things happen over the years of it being a band. Before I get into any kind of questions, I do want to say, as a fan and as a friend, I respect you guys, and I am very much in awe that you have been able to keep it going with all that you've been through, because I, too, have been through such a thing, and I have not been able to have even remotely the same amount of luck, I guess, that you all have as far as just keeping the band going. What would you say about the history of this band before you got in and to where you are today? Is I don't even know how to word it. Is being in this band just that good to you guys that you just have to keep it going, or have you never even thought about changing the name and starting over, or what?
It's honestly one of those things where me and Todd just do not know how to quit. Like it's, which I love, because I'm always the headstrong guy who just refuses to give up on something.
Right.
So having someone else like-minded that I've met and can just be on the same page and just have the same resolve has carried us a long way. Because even on the days of doubt for myself, Todd's there to be like, man, just we're gonna push through and all that stuff. And that's what 90% of it is. And a lot of bands have to do this before they're ever in the public spotlight.
Right.
And unfortunately, these guys have just had a good crowd, good fan base the whole time, so everything's just been witnessed.
Did Todd Hogan start the band? Or he was kind of there in the beginning?
I want to say I'm actually terrible at Despite the Fallen's history. But it only matters after I joined. But he was coming out of Silent from the Struggle, I want to say. And they all started it. And it was, oddly enough, I'm trying to think. They had a lead singer named Rusty. He was only in it for a short time. Mm-hmm. And then,
Trevor was in the band.
He was.
From Kiss Kiss Bang.
Yes.
Trevor was the lead singer at one point when I saw them.
Yeah, that was actually right before me.
And
that was
really quick. Yes, yes, and then I saw you, and I was like, the sound changed.
Oh, yeah.
The music, kind of the same, because I think it was the same members at that point. Yeah. But when you came in, obviously you have a very distinct writing style, vocal style. I really was like, okay, now this is a band. Like, this is really good. And no disrespect to anyone prior to you coming in, or anyone at that point before you joined the band. The sound of it was really good. And it had a lot to do with your vocal sound, which I know you run through like an effects kind of thing.
I do. And I just don't trust a lot of sound guys.
I don't. Well, that's fine. I know like Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction.
Yes.
He's been known to always have like boxes on stage he almost has like a guitar effects rack for his microphone.
Exactly.
And that what you do kind of reminded me of that throwback, because growing up, that was the only vocalist I ever saw that had this effects board that he would go to and use and everything. And
I think most of it just came from producing all the time and just the fact that I'm a stickler about sounds, and I know how I want the sound to go. And any, like, especially despite the Fallen stuff, is it's never as straightforward. I was actually just talking to Ashley Thompson from St. Mayhem about this. Mm-hmm. He's like, I would hate to run sound or try to put effects on you guys, because it's just hard to predict where you're going sometimes. And I'm like, exactly. Like, we know the cues. We know when things are changing. So I like to actually have control.
You're in charge of
it. A lot of it comes from being the guitarist for a lot of bands and just having to do stuff and being able to control things, and then like I'm just standing there with a microphone.
Right.
And it was actually a weird bridge for me to go from playing guitar and singing to just singing.
Right.
And all that, because I was like, oh, if you find videos from about 4 or 5 years ago, I'm just standing there like, I don't know what to do here. And like,
I would never walk on stage without an instrument personally, because I am not that guy.
It's honestly like experiencing stage fright all over, because I'd finally got past it to the point where I didn't think about it anymore. And then they took my blanket away, and I'm just like standing there, this big 6'7" guy just kind of bending down and trying to hide somewhere. It doesn't work out.
Well, at the beginning of this, I mentioned you were a great performer, and I mean that as an audience member of watching you guys. You're very into it.
Thank you.
The energy level that you bring is definite the epitome of what a frontman should be. You don't just stand there and sing or look back or whatever. Like, you're up on the front monitor. You've got the cord wrapped around your arm.
Oh, yeah, that's
you've got the mic up like Glenn Danzig, and you've got the poses. And it's like, you're not putting on an act. You're that's you. Like,
I
like
have
found
so.
What comfort zone you belong in as a front man.
Yes.
So, when you got in Despite the Fallen, how long did it take you to get comfortable in that role?
Well, I'd actually just stepped down as guitarist from Of Sound Mind as well, and focused on lead, just vocals. Because,
so in a way, that was your
stone. Exactly. And then as soon as I got with Despite the Fallen, kind of stepped me back, because it was new people, hadn't really played with them before. We just walked into a room, and they like showed me some things they got, and I didn't really want to do any of the old songs, just because, like, I'm one of those guys, like, I got to do my stuff, and I know that's a diva moment, but...
It's not, I think, I just as have, a singer, that would have to be strange.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, everybody does things differently, and especially, like, Trevor, Respect the Man, has great, but we're just a different side. And that's mainly the reason why he was so short-lived, is I think it just wasn't the right fit for him, wasn't the right fit for them. So it was just one of those things, and then when I stepped in, I think we all found the sound that everybody was looking for. And it just kind of all fell, and then I had to re-get comfortable, but also couldn't not be, because I had to show these guys that I could do it, and that I was very... So I honestly, at the end of the day, I just tried not to think about it and just focused on the song.
Right.
And it was honestly, I think, 2 weeks after I joined, we were playing an hour set in Nashville, Evansville, Indiana, the next night, and then we had two more the next weekend. And I didn't want to do any of the old songs. So I'm like, and we just wrote 10 songs in about 2 weeks' time. So two practices.
That's awesome.
Was just hammering it out. And it just all, like, it was one of those things that just kind of fell into place and felt really natural.
It really did. And I was luckily there to witness it, because I was there when Trevor played his last show. And I think I was there when you were part of one of the first shows for you, I think, around that time that you're referring to. And, again, I was like, wow. This is good, you know, like, this guy belongs, this fits. Aww. You and Todd easily had
a good thing,
and I know that the two of you play duo type stuff.
We do.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't even practice, it's just we've played so much together that we know each other's cues, and we can kind of guess where we're going to go. And we don't do anything the same way twice, hardly ever, mainly because I mess up sometimes and we just got to take a new route.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where we're both so natural with each other. We can just get up there and just like he can read what I'm fixing to do, right. And he knows when I need something to die down or when I need it to build, and we're just got that telecommunication right. between each other.
Some people got it and some don't. I have a lot of respect for Todd as a drummer, but just as a person in general, because he's been nothing but kind to me over the years of knowing him. I don't know if you want to discuss the past members or anything that's gone
as far as I
happened since you've gotten the band. When everything happened and people started leaving or whatever, and obviously you guys were rocked with something we probably shouldn't talk about since it's an ongoing legal thing. I guess we'll just kind of, if people know you and people know the band, they know the story.
Oh yeah, and
there's probably nothing to talk about.
I mean, we've talked about it, and Matt Davis, he was the bassist, and suffered. Like, there was a huge, just terrible moment, and where somebody just, it's hard to put into words, but he was taken from us. And honestly, the first audition I had with the guys, Matt was my go-to guy. Like, he was the guy who, like, vibed with me the most and gave me energy. And, like, I felt like the other guys were just, like, scoring me on things. And he was just, like, actually seeing what I could do. And
well, I didn't know Matt personally, but I did meet him right before his untimely passing.
Yes.
And he was super nice.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and I know that he came into that pretty much greener than the grass.
Yes.
Like, he had not played bass or guitar for like a very long time.
Yeah, I think Tim was showing
Tim
him a
was
lot.
Very
yeah.
much involved with yes. And I know they were very close, and I just don't want to bring up anything without Tim being here and get yeah. into that, because I don't know a lot about it, and I know you probably don't want to touch on that. But when Matt passed away, you guys decided at some point, obviously, to carry on.
Yeah, and
how did you? I've personally never experienced. I think a lot of musicians probably have never had. You have people quit.
Yeah,
you have fights and bands exactly. break up. You guys went through a massive, massive thing that I don't think anybody could probably survive. How did you do that?
Oh, it was honestly what saved us, and like. What happened is, this was, I think, a month and a half after I even joined. Mm-hmm. So I was still like,
I remember that.
And like, it's crazy putting that number on things, because like, Matt's one of those people, when if you've met him twice, you've known him your whole life.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And like I said, I immediately clung to him, because he just had the same energy and humor I did, and he made me feel a lot more comfortable in a new environment. And it happened, and we were just all sitting there, and which, those guys, I mean, they had so much more time with them, so I could only imagine how much more detrimental and exponential it could be for them, especially just having to go forth. And like, I'm not even sure if that's where their heads were at the moment, but we were starting a new song, and it just hadn't, like, I'm very particular, like, I can make something happen and it be good, but if it's not what I want for it, or if it's not what I'm feeling, then it's not done, and right. we're not going to play it. And right after that, we just came in, and Tim was playing that song, and I could tell he was just feeling it. And it's Follow, if anyone, which we dedicate to Matt every single time. So if you've ever heard the story, this is how it came about. But I think we just walked in, and we weren't even sure why we were even in the room, other than we all knew we had things to process, and we don't really know any other way to do it. So we were just getting it all out, and that song was instantly born, and I literally think that's the song that kept us going.
Good.
Like, if we didn't have that moment, or if for some odd reason we canceled practice that day out of very understandable reasons, then who's to know if we would have continued at all.
I think a lot of bands, especially bigger bands that we grew up admiring and respecting as influences, that have gone through something of this nature, I think a lot of them go on because they always feel like so-and-so would have wanted us
yes.
to go on. They wouldn't have wanted us to quit or stop playing music or just start being a band.
And if there was ever a person like that, it was Matt. Anybody who knows, he, like, it was the thing he was probably the proudest of the most, other than his children and his family. But, like, he was always his profile picture. He was always, you know, talking to people about it. Anytime you saw him at a show, he was just glowing.
Yeah.
And it was just, you could tell that was, you know, his spirit, his soul. He was so proud of it to be up there with his friends making good music and stuff. Right. So if there was anyone that would have wanted us to continue, it would have been him, for sure.
The thing about my personal, I don't even call it a connection, but my personal thing towards Matt was pretty cut and dry. When I saw you guys and around the time I met you, I was in this transition of going from playing drums for 20 something years to wanting to play bass and sing and write my own songs. So I went on this quest of like, I'm just going to go to all these shows and I'm going to watch the bass players. And that was kind of like a thing for me for a while. I was like obsessed with it. And so every show I would go to, I would just observe the bass player.
Yeah.
And I got to watch Matt like two or three times, I think. And damn, like I was like, yeah, that's how, if I'm going to get off the drum set and come up to the front of the stage, I want to be like that.
Exactly.
Moving around, just smiling. Like, in it. The whole thing, like the music was in this man head to toe. And as a bass player, watching an actual bass player, and I'm an aspiring bass player at that point, it was very, very inspiring. And I finally got to that point. I finally got to be up there. And I give a lot of credit to him and to a lot of other bass players in this area alone. And leading up to that, we got to do a show together. We've only did one.
I know.
And I'm still to this day super proud of that moment. We played a show at Club Premier.
Yes, I always called
which
Turntable.
At one point
and
was
I never once even played there when it was
before
Turntable.
That was something else and something yeah. else. But
I don't even know what it is now.
It's nothing. I think it's been closed for quite some time.
I heard somebody refer to it the other day like it was open, and it caught me as a surprise, but
it's just this dive bar that had great potential, but it's on Old Morgantown Road. It's way off the beaten path, and I don't think anybody really gave it any kind of recognition whatsoever. But it had potential.
It did.
I think over the years, it's been several things. I've played there several times, but that was my second show as Captain Dean.
Yes.
And I got to open for Despite the Fallen.
Well, that was a good
and
night.
And Saint Mayhem. What was that band? They were very quick. They lasted very, very quick. And it sucked because it was like, oh my God, this is such a good band.
I'm trying to think who was on that bill. It wasn't Memory, was it?
No, Memory. I don't think Memory was even a band at that point.
Okay.
But anyway, I got to open the show, and it was the only time that I opened for Despite the Fallen. But I've been to most of your shows as a fan, and so I just wanted to take a minute to say I'm thankful for that. That was after you got, what is it, Aaron? The bass player. I'm terrible with names.
Adam?
See, I was close.
You had it.
So yes. Adam got in the band, and you guys...
He was actually the bassist and guitarist from Of Sound Mind.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I knew there was a connection with you two. So, speaking of that, leading up to now, where is Despite the Fallen at? And I know you released... Was it an EP or a full length?
An EP.
It was an EP.
Unless you're in Canada, and then it is indeed a full length.
Canadian, they got the full.
Yeah, they got it worked out up there.
So where is Despite the Fallen as of now?
Well, we're honestly still, we actually, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be talking about this yet, but we had some more member changes which at this point, we just keep it on the down low.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
You're fine.
Because I found.
Yes.
I have to say that I found that you guys were looking for a bass player, and it was too late.
I know.
I found the ad, and you'd already found someone, and I'm like, what the hell? You know I'm a bass player now, and nobody even called me.
Well, we've done it so much that we don't even, like, at this point, we just, like, I let Todd handle it. I don't even post about it. I'm just like, just see who shows up.
I would have been at that audition because as a fan of you guys and as knowing you guys, especially you and Todd for a long time, I would have at least auditioned.
Oh, yeah, I think you would have clicked very well, honestly.
So you've had some member changes, which I think this band is unfortunately, I wouldn't say it's your downfall, but it just happens.
Well, and like that's the thing is, every time we've ever changed a member, I walk away happier because we find someone that's a better fit.
Mm.
In a sense. And which, like, loved him. His writing style shaped the band. And that was a devastating loss to us as well. Because, honestly, I've never had a guitarist that I've worked so well with. Because he would, like, just shoot out a riff and a chorus. And, like, he's one of the only people I've been like, yes, play that. And, like, we'd have a song in 5 minutes. About the time it took to play it, we'd have a song. Now, like, a lot of the times, I'm the kind of guy who's like, hey, guys, this is what I wrote. let's play that. Because it's, like, it's hard for me to digest what other people do sometimes, especially right. if it's, like, just a hair different than what I hear in my head. And, like, it's just, like, I'm not going to say OCD because I don't like to just call out mental illnesses like everyone else does. But it's something of the nature. But every time we've had the opening, like it's a huge hit and a downfall, but I just see it as an opportunity to make everything as good as it can and know that we got the best guys in there. And that's, we brought in Mason Kessler, who everybody knows is just a genius on the guitar and like on the spectrum. But we've brought in Dustin, who's a strong rhythm, exactly what we were looking for that fit. He's got the energy, he's got the vibe, and he clicks with all the guys. He's dedicated. And now the new bassist that we have, who
okay.
I'm not going to announce names yet.
Well, yeah, you don't have to because we don't know
I think
when
Tidballs
is
going
to
be his. Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. We don't even know when the date on this thing is. You probably already know about it by now.
Whoever's listening to this, it's like looking at a telescope
yeah.
in the past.
You just dug up your old time capsule in the yard and got your action figure back. But the guy we got in, like, he just came for audition, and within like 10 minutes, Todd and I were just looking at each other like, that's it.
That's the guy.
That's what we needed. He's got an insane amount of gear, which goes a long way because you'd be surprised how many people do not. And like,
that's
even
true.
Some of the best players I've ever seen come in and they're like, well, you got something I can play? And I'm like, not really. Like, no, we don't.
I had this happen the other day. You know how Facebook has the memories
thing? Oh, yeah.
And a memory popped up on mine that said, 2 years ago, I posted this. And true, it said, 2016 will go down as the year that I auditioned drummers. And 7 of them didn't even own a drum set.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. Like, how can you claim to be a musician and interested in being in a band if you don't even own equipment?
And like, that's like, I know times are hard and you can't always buy it, but like, I've, where there's a will,
but
there
to
tends
me, that
to be
speaks
a way.
Volumes.
Yeah,
if you, like, don't even own a bass and an amp, why are you wanting to play bass in this
thing,
band?
Like,
you know,
like I've watched people like, you know, like get on hard times and sell their guitars and stuff, and that's like, that's never been an option for never been an option.
Yeah.
Like I wish they're all my children. And I mean, like, sometimes I'll sell one, but only when like I find something else that does what that one was doing for me better.
True.
And
upgrade.
Yeah, and like I recently just let go a very signature guitar of mine, but it went to a young child who reminded me of my young self, so I was actually very happy about the process.
Right.
And that made letting go of it a lot easier. But it was just sitting around in the corner and never got played because it's a metal guitar and I don't get to play metal guitar anymore. Yeah. And all that. So like, they're just, and I have multiple, so I just finally let it go and invested in other gear towards my solo stuff. But I don't know, like, you'd think, like, if you're a guitarist or a bassist or a drummer, that would be the last thing you'd ever want to part with, or you'd definitely make sure you work till you had one. I don't even care if it's a $200 kit, as long as you got something.
I was like, if you don't even own like the crappiest junk out there,
yeah.
you know, don't think I'm going to load up my personal gear for you to just show up, play, and leave. Gotta love that stuff.
Yeah.
So you guys have had some member changes again.
Yes.
But that's not as bad as saying the band's over.
Oh, yeah, for
that's,
sure.
That's the only way I would ever look at something like that.
And it's honestly, we've been taking the time as we were filling the spot
right.
to, we've almost not reinvented our sound, but it's evolved because this is like the first full writing process that we've gotten to do with the new members
right.
and Mason and all the stuff he's bringing to the table. And like, sometimes he'll bring way too much, which is never a bad thing because you can always be like, hey
let's do, you know, you can always have writer's block.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's better than bringing nothing at all. And I love the kid, but he'll just come in with the craziest stuff and like polyrhythms. And I'm like, well, let's put it on 4/4 and that way I can sing to it. And let's just, let's dial it down by 30%. And it's, like, it's an amazing thing to give too much, in my opinion, because, like, it's better, definitely better than not enough.
Definitely.
But he's kind of, and, like, that's the thing, like, I always hear way more in my head that I'm actually capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to meet in the middle, and, like, it works out perfect. I'm all about the balance and things.
Right.
So he makes me a lot less mediocre.
So you do write songs to bring to the band.
Yes.
And then you also obviously write songs to
together,
keep personal and for yourself.
It's just, I'm all the time at my house with something in my hand, or if I'm bored, like most of the time I work on solo stuff, but every now and then I'll get tired of that and I'll just go set up the half sack and just jam out. And if I get something cool, at this point, like used to, I would sit and write the entire thing myself,
right,
just because I wanted to make sure it was something that I approved of.
Right.
Now I'm actually in a group of guys that I trust with it, and I'll be like, hey, I got this 10-second clip of a riff.
Yeah.
What can we do with
what
it?
What do you got?
Yeah. It's like, I'll let you guys handle the dirty work. So, and the new stuff we've got is, I'm actually really excited about bringing it out. We've always had a modern kind of sound, arena type, real big, and which I've always taken a lot of influence from, like Deftones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just that huge sound, which is like where a lot of the vocal stuff comes in, my pedal and stuff. But just, we're making things not insane, like not necessarily more complicated, but just more advanced, and we're showing off more of what we can do as a group and all playing off each other's strengths, because we've had enough time to figure them out.
Right. You've had a little bit of time off. Yeah. You've done some solo shows, and but yet, I guess in the transition of getting this new member in and not necessarily starting over, but just kind of picking up from where it left off, you guys are obviously coming in to having something new.
Yes.
And, I personally have had a friend of mine that is a huge fan of you guys that I told her today. I was like, I think I'm going to talk to them. You know, I think Johnny's coming out. When can we expect something new?
Well,
now going back though, real quick, just when did the EP come out? The one you made the video for Stone? And
yes, I want to say the single was released in January. And the album was released in July.
Oh, okay.
And I want to say it's not last July. I would think the one before.
But it hadn't been that long.
It's. I think it's been about a year and a half, which feels like forever to us.
Because
I'm sure you guys are tired of those 6 songs. Unless you're in Canada, then you're used to it. But
damn Canadian. Shakes
every
fist.
But
so you got new material coming.
We do, and we're actually fixing to jump into the studio. We're polishing everything up, because that's the one thing which I honestly don't regret. But last time, like, we thought we had the songs done,
right?
And then we went to the studio, and he's like, "These aren't done." And I'm like, "You're a good producer. You're right." And like, so we like just dug deep and found more layers to stuff, and it just brought the songs and our sound to an entirely new level. And that's one of the reasons why I was happy with the member changes, because we were like doing stuff on the album that we weren't exactly executing live to the fullest extent.
Right.
So when opportunities came, we found people who could actually get that vision out of us live. So now we're like at the top we've ever been, which is important to me because I'm all about growth and never taking steps back. But the new stuff, we're fixing to jump in, start recording again. The release date's not technically up to us anymore.
But it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. Like, it's out of our hands. There's a window when it can be released.
But 2019 is going to have some new Despite the Fallen.
Yes, 2019 definitely.
And lots of shows.
We may be on the Tool level, where Guns N' Roses. But no, it'll be 2019 definitely.
Well, that's good. I know a lot of people are excited for that. And Just thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for
having
me. Is
there anything before we wrap up that maybe I forgot to ask you, or you would just like to say in general?
I would honestly just like to thank everyone for their continual support and everything, even through the member changes. And I know, like, their fans that are like connected through that one member who then leaves. And like, we've actually had some bad experience with when things didn't exactly end well with people. They've kind of like went and told their fans that, oh, like, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff we had to deal with.
Believe me, I would.
Some flat out lies that have been told about us, and I'm sure it's made us look great to some people. And we hate losing fans more than anything. That's never anything we want to do. And that's part of the reason why we've kept everything under curtains anymore anytime we have like member changes and stuff, because it's one of the, like, we don't like to think of ourselves as individuals, but as a group.
Right.
And like, sometimes there's individual problems, and like, whether it's they have to leave or it's just like we are having experiences where certain members were just like dragging the band down, like ruining things, and like just not dedicated enough or couldn't handle themselves properly or be trusted to be an adult with things. And there's been just the standard rock and roll, drugs and all that stuff involved.
A lot of us have gone through
musicians that, have a lot better understanding of it than some of the fans, because like that's the thing, I never want to dog anybody, I don't want to mention names or tell anybody secrets, because like, everybody makes mistakes, everybody does bad things.
Well, you're human.
Yeah. And like, I never want to like drag that, like, if it's not working out, we'll just part our ways and we'll call it, you know, we'll call it good. But then they go and they twist it and feed it. And I'm like, do you really want me to like have to tell people what actually happened? Like, there's videos, there's witnesses. Like, but it's thankfully we've avoided most of that we could. And we're still on really good terms with a lot of guys, and sucks that we're not with a lot of the core members that I was used to. But
see, 10, 15 years from now, this is how reunions happen.
Yeah.
And man, this recently has been just reunions left and right.
Yes.
And some people think that's a good thing and they're happy. And then some of them realize, hey, I'm 50 and this is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Well, Johnny, I appreciate you being here today.
Thanks again for having me.
Where can anyone out there listening find you guys, either your solo stuff or the band Despite the Fallen? Where can everybody look you up?
We're on Spotify. The band's on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. We have a music video out there that I'm sure everyone saw 10,000 times.
And that was shot at the Haunted Hospital, is that
it
correct?
It was, in Scottsdale. What,
is it really haunted?
Well,
depends on when.
All
you're
I know
there,
is nobody went in the basement alone.
All I know, the video was great. Awesome. The pictures were really good.
Yes.
I mean, that place just
it has that look.
You know, was it a TB hospital? Is that right? Tuberculosis hospital.
I think so. Actually,
I know Kentucky was full of those things. Yeah. I think that one was in Scottsville for some reason, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, well, I do believe you're right on that. But you can pretty much just stream us anywhere. Those are all the free places. I mean, iTunes, you can go buy it if you want. But honestly, we get like 10 cents a song. So if you just want to listen to it for free, I'm all for that. I mean, I'll email
come
you
to a
the
show
album
and buy a damn shirt, right?
Yeah, you can get shirts, physical copies of the CD if you don't already have one. That helps us a lot more than buying it online, because that's just going to, who owns iTunes and Apple now?
Some sort of middleman.
Some middleman. And
so
he's cutting the product down.
Give your
down.
Money directly to the band.
Yeah.
Don't
and
be
I
a
mean,
fool.
We most of the time, we don't even want your money. We do appreciate it, because it just helps us funnel back into more shirts, more designs, more albums. So, like, it's never like we're going out and just, you know, spending it on
Corona.
Yeah, well, no, sometimes.
Which we have enjoyed
Corona
drinking.
Does happen, I'm not going to lie. But
this episode is brought to you by Corona.
One day
which
I'm going to
have
an endorsement.
Brought to my home studio and shared with me.
I never go anywhere empty handed.
Thanks again for being here, and long live the fallen.
That's right.